Okay, David, chapter 3.
Yep.
Paul's now beginning to really move. And you can hear the exasperation. He's really frustrated with him. And whilst he's been building, now he starts to hit them.
First 3 words of the chapter, you foolish Galatians.
Yeah, he's right. Enough. What has happened to you? And that's he begins right. to go hard at them. So listen for that in chapter 3. Listen for how tough he is on them, how exasperated he is, how perplexed he is.
But what I love is his passion comes through for the Galatians. He's so determined not to have them be preached this alternate gospel that he's going hard on them, but his love and his compassion is coming through at the same time. Yeah.
And amazingly, chapter 3 has some of the most amazing teaching on what Jesus has accomplished for us, because now he's having to unpack it to bring it to them, and you understand how the blessings of Abraham come to us as New Testament believers, not through the law. And it's just a masterful. I want you to really, you know, maybe listen to this one a couple of times and just listen to the masterful teaching of how this happens. And then he finishes with this amazing concept or this amazing truth.
Mm.
He says, hey, if the law couldn't teach, if the law couldn't save us, if the law can't make us righteous, then why have the law at all?
Yeah.
So he begins to then defend what the law was for and its purpose.
Yeah.
And that's really important for us, because there are many Christians.
It gives context, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, a lot of Christians try and combine the law with you know, a bit of law or a bit of the New Testament.
Yeah, no,
and you've got to understand its purpose and why it was given. And so chapter 3 also includes that. So listen as David reads now to those areas.
Okay. Galatians 3. Foolish Galatians, who has been fascinating you, you before whose very eyes Jesus Christ was depicted upon the cross? Here is the one thing that I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit as the result of obedience to the law, or of your having listened with faith? Can you be so foolish? After beginning with what is spiritual, do you now end with what is external? Did you go through so much to no purpose? If indeed it really was to no purpose, he who supplies you abundantly with his Spirit and endows you with such powers, does he do this as a result of obedience to law, or as the result of your having listened with faith? It is just as it was with Abraham. He had faith in God, and his faith was regarded by God as righteousness. You see then that those whose lives are based on faith are the sons of Abraham. And Scripture, foreseeing that God would pronounce the Gentiles righteous as the result of faith, foretold the good news to Abraham in the words, "Through thee all the Gentiles shall be blessed." And therefore those whose lives are based on faith share the blessings bestowed upon the faith of Abraham. All who rely upon obedience to law are under a curse. For Scripture says, "Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all that is written in the book of the law, and do it." Again, it's evident that no one is pronounced righteous before God through law. For we read, "Through faith the righteous man shall find life." But the law is not based on faith. No, its words are, "Those who practice these precepts will find life through them." Christ ransomed us from the curse pronounced in the law, by taking the curse on himself for us. For Scripture says, "Cursed is anyone who was hanged on a tree." And this he did, that the blessing given to Abraham might be extended to the Gentiles through their union with Jesus Christ, so that through our faith we also might receive the promised gift of the Spirit. To take an illustration, brothers, from daily life, no one sets aside even an agreement between two men when once it has been confirmed, nor does he add conditions to it. Now it was to Abraham that the promises were made, and to his offspring. It was not said to his offsprings, as if many persons were meant. But the words were, "to thy offspring," showing that one person was meant, and that was Christ. My point is this: an agreement already confirmed by God cannot be cancelled by the law, which came 430 years later, so as to cause the promise to be set aside. If our heritage is the result of law, then it has ceased to be the result of a promise. Yet God conferred it on Abraham by a promise. What then, you ask, was the use of the law? It was a later addition to make men conscious of their wrongdoings and intended to last only till the coming of that offspring to whom the promise had been made. And it was delivered through angels by a mediator. Now, mediation implies more than one person, but God is one only. Does that set the law in opposition to God's promises? Heaven forbid. For if a law had been given capable of bestowing life, then righteousness would have actually owed its existence to law. But the words of Scripture represent the whole world as being in bondage to sin, so that the promised blessing, dependent as it is upon faith in Jesus Christ, may be given to those who have faith in Him. Before the coming of faith, we were kept under the guard of the law in bondage, awaiting the faith that was destined to be revealed. Thus, the law has proved a guide to lead us to Christ, in order that we may be pronounced righteous as the result of faith. But now that faith has come, we no longer need a guide, for you are all sons of God through your faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into union with Christ, clothed yourselves with Christ. All distinctions between Jew and Greek, slave and freeman, male and female have vanished, for in union with Christ Jesus you are all one. And since you belong to Christ, it follows that you are Abraham's offspring and, under the promise, sharers in the inheritance.